like to follow along in your Bibles, Noah's going to read our scripture for us this morning. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Might feel your presence day by day and make a decision to follow you. Lord, it's our desire to come home with you. We see the world falling apart around us. And Lord, while you said Jesus, men's hearts failing them for fear, ours do not, Lord, because our faith and our trust is in you and in the blessed hope which you have put forth to each one of us, that one day soon you will break through the eastern sky and you will call us to go home with you. We long for that day. But Lord, in that day we don't want to come home empty-handed. Would you please give us opportunities today and this week to share Jesus with someone else, that they might come and be a part of your kingdom also. So help us, God. Now I want to pray for my brother Eldon as he's going to share your word with us this morning. That your hand might be over him and that you might speak through him. That we might be drawn to you because of what we hear today. So God, we give this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Happy Sabbath, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Let me say I have a lot to be thankful for, and I'm assuming that you do too. So as we talk this morning, these are my thoughts, and maybe they can relate to them as we go through them. I think maybe they are somewhat universal, as we go through this, but I'm thankful for many things. Noah read the scripture. Thank you very much. Paul writes, in everything, give thanks. It seems like sometimes my first thought is that he's asking us to do something that's impossible. Right? Are you thankful for your headache? Are you thankful for your backache? Are you thankful that you... There are lots of things that we struggle with. Do you think that Paul would tell an Israeli whose family's member was taken or killed on October 7th, would he tell them to be thankful? Would he tell the Palestinian families who weeks later pulled their dead child out of the rubble? How can there be any thanks in that at all? We're going to talk about that as we go along. I want to take you back to 1863. Do you even remember that year? No pointing of fingers now. What happened in 1863? Well, the flushing toilet was invented. Isn't that nice? Four-wheeled roller skates were invented by an American inventor. The fire extinguisher was invented. The process of making color pictures, that happened in 1863. Virginia was created, becoming the 35th state in the United States of America. And do you know what else happened in 1863? The Seventh-day Adventist Church was officially organized. 1863. It was on a Thursday, May 21st, 1863, that 20 people met in Battle Creek, Michigan. 18 were delegates from 6 then existing state conferences, which were Michigan, New York, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. The Vermont Conference did not send any delegates, but the churches from Ohio, which was still being organized as a conference, sent 2 delegates. And among those present was Ellen White. And the session elected Jotham Aldrich as the chair and Uriah Smith as the secretary. Aldrich was only 35 years old. Anyone here 35, by the way? All right. Yeah, I know. He was a young man, we would say. And he'd only been converted 3 years earlier, by the way. This was the official beginning of the church. Also in 1863. It was a cold, windy, rainy day on October 3rd of 1863, and President Lincoln was ill. He'd delivered the Gettysburg Address after sitting outside listening for 2 hours while Edward Everett spoke, and he was quite unwell, it says. It means he wasn't well. He was sick. Suffering from a mild case of a form of smallpox. And despite his poor health, his humor remained intact. He remarked that since he had been president, he'd always had a crowd of people asking him to give them something, and now he had something to give to them. Although the timing was unfortunate, he instituted the first official National Thanksgiving Day on October 3rd of 1863. And from 1863 to 1938, Thanksgiving was celebrated on the last Thursday of November. In 1939, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt changed it to the fourth Thursday of November. Thanksgiving Day, it came about by American president realized the need for a day of Thanksgiving, and it was in also one of the most trying times of our nation's history. It was right in the middle of the war between the states of the Civil War, which was in 1863. And he wrote these words. I just want to read them to us, about 4 or 5 paragraphs long. The year is drawing toward its close, has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. I want you to keep in mind that you may have gone through a rough year. He and the Americans had gone through some rough fears when he's writing this. These bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source of which they come, others have been added which are so extraordinary of a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate even the even soften the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggressions, peace has been preserved with all nations in order to be maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed. The harmony has been prevailed everywhere except in the theater of a military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national events have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axes have enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well as iron and coal, as of precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, in the siege, and the battlefield. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. Praise God. It seemed to me fit and proper they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart, one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him, such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national preservedness and disobedience, commend to their tender care all those who become widows and orphans, mourners or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation, to restore it as soon as may be consistent with divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. He wanted us as a nation to look to God and say, thank you, God, for what you've done in our nation in spite of our problems. In spite of it. There are texts in the Bible that talk about giving thankfulness, many, 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 especially in Psalms. Psalm 100, we're not going to read it, but it's a psalm of just great thankfulness to God. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, saw those colors of those aspen trees and stuff. It was just really, truly gorgeous. When you look at that, you have to say to yourself, you know, there truly is a God. Even in the death of plants, he creates beauty. Not really death. Autumn's like a sleep for most plants. Some of them die. It's like a sleep. In Romans 1, verse 19, 20, it says, for we know what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that he has made. And I think that that's really true. When we look out there and we see beauty, we need to think about the one who created that beauty. I'm thankful for my family. My parents are no longer with us, but I have brothers and sisters and sons and daughters and grandchildren and all these. It's at these holiday times where family becomes really important, right? You learn to tolerate people that are maybe not so tolerable. It's true that not all my family knows or acknowledges God. Maybe that's with yours too. Matter of fact, not many do. But I love them and pray for them daily, and I encourage you to do that for your families as well. You know, my grandfather was in his mid-80s when he gave his life to God and was baptized. I still remember that. It was a Sabbath morning, and I was very young. He died shortly after. You know, God never gives up. We should never give up on our family members, the people we love either. Never give up. I'm thankful for my wife. It's only been a little over 3 years now, but I'm very grateful for her. I'm thankful for my health. Now, my health is not perfect. Any of you have perfect health? No? I work to manage my diabetes. I find that I don't have the strength or endurance that I used to have. But I still have a great measure of faith. Some younger than I have passed away. This year, I've reached my 70, Dave. I know he used to say, 70. You've reached yours too, haven't you? Anything after that, I suppose you could say, is a bonus, right? It's a bonus. I'm grateful for forgiveness of sins, both great and small. I know that David wrote in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you only, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, and let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise. I am thankful that God intercedes for me and fights battles for me. I praise him for the victories that he's won in my life. And I praise him for the promised glory that he has assured me will be waiting for me and for you and for everyone else who puts their trust and their faith in him. J. Jeremiah was a man who lived in a really difficult time. He's referred to as a weeping prophet. You know that. He wrote the book of Lamentations. And he wrote in Lamentations, he said, "Oh Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul." Lamentations 3, verse 58. And he goes on to explain how God has taken up his causes and fought for him. And when we get past those battles that we fight and the Lord fights with us or for us, we need to go back to God and we need to say, "Thank you, Lord." We need to make a bigger deal out of it maybe than we do. When the Israelites went through the Red Sea, they created a song to sing called the Song of Moses. And they praised the Lord in song for his deliverance from the Egyptians at the Red Sea. And it was in Exodus 15, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, "Then the Lord and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, singing, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him. My father's God. I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.'" And then Miriam sung this, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea." And in Revelation chapter 15, we're told that those of us who standing on the sea of glass will sing a song of Moses and the Lamb. And in Revelation chapter 15, verses 2, 3, and 4, it says, "And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. Your righteous acts have been revealed." A comment that Ellen White makes about this verse from Letters and Manuscripts, it says, "When we stand on that sea of glass, we will altogether lift up our voices and praise to God for his might, great and mighty works, for his loving kindness, and for his grace. Not because we've done anything to deserve it, but because of what he has done. We all have the same cause for thanksgiving. The resurrection, the ascension of our Lord is a sure evidence of the triumph of the saints of God over death and the grave, and a pledge that heaven is open to those who wash their robes of the character and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. There are homes for the pilgrims of earth. There are robes, crowns of glory, palms of victory. All the perplexedness in the providences of God will then be made plain. The things hard to understand will then find an explanation. Mysteries of grace will be unfold before us. There our finite minds discovered only confusion and broken purposes, but we shall see the most perfect order and harmony there. We shall know that the infinite love ordered the experiences that seemed most trying and hard to bear. As we realize the tender care of him who makes all things work together for our good, we shall rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." There's another statement I know you're very familiar with, and she says, "God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led if they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him." I think it's true that each of us can look at our own lives and we can find things that we struggle to be thankful for. We do. It reminds me of something else that Paul wrote somewhere else. He said, "We know God works all things together for good to those who love him, for those who are called according to the purpose." I used to think that based on this verse, one could conclude that nothing bad ever happens. It's all good, right? He's going to work it for good. It's all good. That's not true, of course. What is true, though, as we look through the tapestry of lives, we can see how even the bad things we experience work together for a positive end. We can see that. Maybe a similar thing could be happening here today, I'm sure, in this Thanksgiving time. Have things we wish were better. There are decisions we wish we could take back. Events that we wish didn't happen. There are certain things we would not necessarily be thankful for. Maybe we can't find the strength to be thankful for every particular thing. Instead, what we can do is see how God is moving or working in our lives and how even the things that we aren't thankful for are part of the bigger picture for which we can give thanks. A man named Martin Rinkart was born in 1856. He lived in Germany. He was a son of a coppersmith. He worked his way through the university, became a preacher. At 31, he was a pastor of a town in Eilenburg. He arrived there just when the bloodshed of the 30 Years' Wars was starting. Eilenburg was a walled city and became very overcrowded because it had a refugee problem. Political and military refugees would come there to escape death. Throughout the 30 Years' War, the city experienced bad, really deadly pestilence and famine as various armies marched through town. His home, this pastor's home, served as a refuge for many, even though he often had difficulty providing food and clothing for his own family. The plague of 1637 was particularly severe. At this time, he was the only remaining minister in the city and often conducted as many as 40 or 50 funerals in a day. Yet he wrote about the events of the Reformation as well as he wrote 66 hymns. During the closing years of the war, Eilenburg was invaded by armies on three different occasions, once by the Austrian army and twice by the Swedish army. During one of the occupations of the Swedish army, they demanded that a large payment be made by these people who really had nothing. He summoned all his courage and he went to meet the commander of the Swedish army, and he asked that a much smaller amount of money might be accepted. The Swedish commander would not consider his request for a lowering of a levy at first, but the pastor turned to his parishioners and he said, "Come, my children, we can find no mercy with man. Let us take refuge with God." And on his knees, he led them in prayer and the singing of hymns. The demonstration of devotion moved the Swedish commander so that he reconsidered, and finally he lowered the demands of the tribute payment. It was one of the most severe human hardships imaginable of the 30 Years' War that this hymn of thanksgiving and praise, and the name of this hymn is now "Thank We All Our God," was composed in those dark times. One would never realize that this poem of praise was written during times of such disappointment and pain and tragedy. And this hymn is often referred to as the National Hymn of Germany because it had been sung on many occasions. I would like to invite you to join your voices together with mine. And even amidst our disappointments, our failures, our pain, our insurmountable challenges, and I'd like you to lift your voices up in praise to God this afternoon.
May we all stand, please.
Who for
all the things that you've brought into our lives. We pray, Lord, that you teach us to see the benefit of the disappointing and painful parts. We thank you for those in retrospect. We ask you, Lord, to keep our minds set on you, to look in the future, and to trust you not to bring anything into our lives that would be for our worst. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.